to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Suck it.
Bitches.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 28 of the Game Lounge. This is Farva having to take control, and with me I have the Fisherwoman.
Hello!
That's the Fisherwoman. She is on the show because the Fisherman, like an ass, decided he wants to keep playing video games instead of recording the show for you people. So it just shows the kind of love that I have that I went ahead and snuck behind his back and stole his girlfriend just like at PAX last year and now have her on the show here with me.
Except I wasn't here for PAX last year, so that didn't really work.
She has to say that he's in the room. So, anyway, I guess Fisherwoman, that's so long to say. What's something better?
I don't know. Well, Buggy Woman's the same amount of syllables,
that,
so...
I know, what's it called? Gamer tag?
Yes.
Buggy Woman?
Yes.
B-U-G-G-I-E-W-O-M-A-N.
No, W-M-N.
M-N?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, people. So that's how you find her. So inundate her with friend requests if you want a chick on your, you know, just to kind of, you know, every guy wants another chick on his
friends list.
Exactly. So, we'll start off with the beginning. What are you drinking?
Water.
God, you suck. Do you not know the rules of the talking ship? You do not drink water.
But did you want me to lie? I can lie.
Oh, God. You're a woman. Women lie anyway. Okay, well...
What are you drinking?
I'm the responsible adult, and I have a Jack and Diet Coke, because that is a responsible thing to be drinking.
Why are you drinking Diet Coke?
Because I'm fat. You saw that. I just literally... I opened up our Skype thing, and I did the video Skype, and they're like, wow, you gained weight.
Wait. Like, I didn't say anything. Dave said it.
He did say it, yes. And for everyone knows, his name is Dave Fisher. So there you go. There's a peek behind the curtain. Dave Fisher is the fisherman, and he can't correct me because, you know what? Screw him. He's not on the show.
He's too busy playing Assassin's Creed.
So... we are going to jump down. You know, usually we go into Digital Desk here, but Digital Desk is where Dave always talks about, the fisherman always talks about what's going on in the world, and he has all of the stories here, and I haven't read them, so I'm not going to do that part. So we're skipping that and going directly into the Game Bang.
Fabulous.
Wow, that was good. Okay,
and this is the Game Bang. This is where we talk about what we have been playing recently. So, Buggy Woman, Fisher Woman, what have you been playing recently?
Well, I got back into Fable because I had to restart.
The first one?
No, Fable 3. I got to a point where I didn't have enough money to do anything. So I restarted.
Gold Digger.
Very nice. No, I wanted to save everybody.
That's retarded.
And I need money to do that, so I restarted.
Okay, that's awesome. So, no. All right, seriously.
Well, the Kinect, and we've been doing that.
All right, how do you like the Kinect?
I love it. Kicks my ass.
What have you been playing on it?
I dance.
See, I have that, and I haven't opened it yet. I need to get into that.
I'm not even kidding. It kicks your ass. You're dancing, and I have muscles hurting in places I didn't know they existed.
Nice. Are you dropping it like it's hot?
Yes.
Apparently that's what the kids are saying nowadays. We're dropping it like it's hot.
Very good.
And earning that cheddar. So, very nice.
No, but you should get on it, dude.
I will. You know what? My buddy from Arkansas, he comes into town here every so often and visits. Yeah, Arkansas. You know what they call themselves? I was like, what are you, an Arkansanian or an Arkansas or whatever? They call themselves Arkansans.
Arkansans? That's retarded.
Yeah. Because apparently, this is what he said, and I think he's just stupid and a backwoods redneck, but he said that Arkansas and Kansas used to be one huge territory.
Yeah, Arkansas.
And so when they became, states, you have Kansas and Arkansas. And so they call themselves like Kansas. We'll call themselves, you know, a Kansan. And so they are Arkansans, which is still retarded.
That is still retarded, because Kansas is a terrible place.
Kansas is a terrible place. Why would you want to name yourself? I can't imagine Arkansas being much better.
No.
He's very, like, in January, he's going to be moving back.
And misery is just the same.
Oh, Misery sucks. I went to basic training there. I hate
we
Misery.
Lived in a pop-up tent in the forest.
That's because you're a fairy. I don't know. What were you, what were you doing in the... What?
Okay, so we're Air Force brat, right? So
okay.
My father got stationed there, and while they were in the process of buying a house, we were living in this pop-up tent in the forest, and then they decided to get a divorce, and they drove cross-country, and like he dropped us off in front of my grandma's house and threw all our shit in our front yard and drove off. But for a while there, we were living in this pop-up tent, seriously, in the forest.
Wow. Your life sucks.
No, I just have crazy adventures.
That suck. Wow, that's hilarious. I am laughing so hard on the inside at your misery.
Yeah, in misery. It was very buggy and sticky and blech.
Thus, the gamer tag.
No.
Got it.
No.
That's awesome. So, I remember you last time you were like, Fable 3 is kind of like Fable 2.
It
if
is.
You like it, you like it. If you don't, is it worth investing all that time into, or is this one of these games where, I mean, should I pick this game up and play it or not?
No.
Okay, fair enough. So, recently I have been playing Red Dead Redemption.
It's a good game.
I started it from scratch. I went all the way back to the beginning because some friends got on there and entered cheat codes and screwed up everything on my game. So
that's cruel.
I know. I was so pissed off. Like I did the whole get the lady run over by the train thing.
That's awful.
And I did not get the achievement point, and I couldn't figure out why I didn't. Then I turned the game off, turned it back on, and it's like, you have entered a cheat before. You don't qualify. And I was so
happy. Very pissed.
So I started from scratch, and I'm at the point where I'm on the final mission when it comes to shooting the bad guy, that Bill Williamson that you're chasing. Or no, Dutch. I'm after Dutch right now. So I'm on the final mission where I do the big charge against Dutch. And then, I've put into that game probably 20 hours in the last 4 days.
Wow, that's why you're tired.
Yeah. So, I'm excited about that. I'm actually, this is the first time, like, for these Grand Theft Auto type games, you know, these Rockstar games.
Yeah.
These long narratives, that this is the first time I've ever honestly played the whole thing through. I just usually get bored with it and find the missions to be repetitive, or I don't care about the characters.
Right.
And just,
this one you could relate a little bit more, I think.
Exactly. Like, I don't know how last time I was a cowboy, you know, out shooting buffalo and elk.
Well,
and,
it's just something different, too.
Stopping women from getting raped every fucking time I come into town.
Well, it's not your standard game, either. It's the same kind of setup, but with a different setting, and so you're not as bored.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. And I found, I found a lot of the side stranger missions to be a lot more interesting than I thought they would be.
I agree.
So those are always fun. So there's one that's annoying as hell where you gotta, like, find flowers for this guy.
I do that all the time.
So I went and picked all the flowers and found them. It took forever.
But then I always get killed by cougars.
Oh, that's because they're jealous of you. But, did you finish that mission? The one where you gotta, like, find the flowers for that guy outside of Thieves Landing?
Yeah.
And he introduces you to his wife?
Right.
Like, that whole scene was kind of awesome. I'm like, alright, that's a cool little payoff. That was worth all the flowers. So, I don't want a spoiler, spoiler for anybody. I'm sure if you really just don't want to know what we're talking about, don't want to play the game, you can find it on, you can Google it and find it. But, I think the mission's called, like, Flowers for My Darling or something like that.
I think that's what it's called.
So that's what I've been playing, and it's been pretty awesome. So I'm excited to go ahead, and I'll probably finish that up late tonight, because I'm actually going to be awake in about 3.5 hours to take my daughter and mother-in-law to the airport.
Where are they going?
They're going back to Alaska. So we're going to Alaska for Christmas this year. So my mother-in-law is taking my daughter, and in a week or so, my wife will follow, and then I'll follow in a couple weeks after that.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's the plan. So I'll be up probably finishing that this evening.
Yeah, we're going to Utah for Christmas.
Why?
Because my family's there, and this is the first time Fish is going to be away from his family for Christmas.
Oh, man, the withdrawals. I can't wait. I hope he cries.
He won't cry. His mom might cry, though.
I hope he tinkles the bed just a little bit. I hope he has an accident.
No.
That would be hilarious. Hilarious. Okay, so... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
I was just going to move on to the next section.
Go
if you want to keep
it.
Making fun of him, we can.
No, it's okay.
All right. So that was the game bang. We're going to go ahead and move on to On the Horizon. So this is On the Horizon, and this is where we talk about the games that are coming out this month and what we're most looking forward to. So do you see the list here?
No. Oh, you don't there see the it list? Is. I found it.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read them off because no one else can see what we're looking at. This is what's coming out this month, and it's actually, considering how big an outpouring we've had over the last couple of months, you know, as like running up to the gamer, you know, the big release for the holiday release.
Right.
Releases. This is pretty sparse, at least what he's put on this list. I'm sure there's more games in this coming out. A lot of it will be shovelware, and we're not going to give a crap about it. But this is what he has on here. Unbound Saga for the 360. Trials HD Big Thrills on the 360. Kung Fu Live PS3. World of Warcraft Cataclysm. Tron Evolution, multiple systems. Super Mario All-Stars on the Wii, and Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam on all systems. So, from this tiny little list he has here, what are you most looking forward to?
It's kind of sad. I would love to play Mario All-Stars, but we haven't touched the Wii in like 9 months, so that's not going to happen.
Really? You know a game what I've been playing? I actually played a lot with my daughter. It's one of the few games we can play together. And I get a lot of huge kick out of it. It's a lot of fun. Is a Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah, we have that. We got like 20 minutes in and haven't touched it since.
God, you suck.
But there's just no point. There's other things in the house to play with.
Oh, seriously. Put the boobs away. Pick
up
the Wiimote.
Well, I'm sorry.
They
kind of get in the way.
Yeah.
I can't control that.
Seriously, just tell them to put a shirt back on. So, anyway, looking at this list, what's most looking forward to for me?
Yeah.
Probably Tron.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually going and seeing Tron.
Yeah, oh, I'm one of these geeks that, like, you know, if people remember Tron fondly, but in reality, it's a really boring movie. If you go back and watch the old one, it's slow.
Okay, you're older than me, so I don't remember the last one.
See, that's the thing. Is like I had some guys come over. They were a little bit younger than me, and I tried to like get them to watch it. They're like, and like literally about 25 minutes into it, they were just looking at other crap and talking about like no one cared. It was just like, okay, no one likes this movie, and I'm sitting there just like hooked on it. I love Tron. I think it's a fantastic movie, and nobody else enjoyed it. So this one looks much more action oriented, a lot more flash and pomp and circumstance. And
but you're looking forward to the game.
Oh, so the game at PAX we played, and I remember, I don't remember who I was listening to. It was another podcast, one of the Sarcastic Gamer guys, but they said they walked into the Tron booth, and they were like, oh, that game looks kind of cool, and then they saw it was for the Wii, and they're like, nope, done, and they didn't even bother touching it.
This one now, says it's for multiple.
It is. It's on multiple systems, so I actually went back there with Undead Dog, and me and him played there. We saw on the PS3 or on the 360, we saw like some kind of platforming looking sections where your characters were on platforming.
Right.
That looked kind of interesting, but those were all taken. We got our hands on the PS3 version, and it looked amazing. And it was a bike section where we were kind of on this highway, and you're dodging falling debris and things trying to stomp on you and shoot at you. And it was really cool. It was a great looking game. So, I mean, it looked amazing. It was, everything just kind of came together. The controls were pretty tight. When you did get killed, it had that, like, pixelated bike explosion.
Right.
That's from the old movie. It looked good. So, just for my anticipation, like, I have an IMAX theater here. I will be seeing that on the 7th, and then probably going and renting this game. And if it's good enough, maybe even picking it up. I'm actually really curious about the multiplayer. Because on the Wii, the way they worked the Wii was kind of cool. They hold the Wiimote sideways like you would for any of the driving games.
Other, yeah.
And, you know, Tron is famous for the bikes. You know, you got the bike races and they leave like the trail, the wall behind you. And so you're trying to basically get your opponent to drive into the wall that you're creating. So you got the bikes. The way they were doing it is you would steer the bike, you know, like you would any other car. And it would go back and forth and it would turn. But if you wanted to make like the really sharp right-hand or left-hand turns that Tron is so like... what's known for, you would use the directional pad left or right, and if you were like guiding it to the right, you'd have like a slow arc to the right, and if you push the left button, you'd suddenly from wherever you were hook a hard left.
Oh, that's
like
interesting.
Like a 90-degree, like bang, as soon as you press it, bang, you've got it. And so I was like, that was kind of cool. So I'm thinking they're gonna do something like that with the triggers for the, you know, PS3 and the Xbox. But what really is exciting for me is the multiplayer aspects of it, because this was two people playing it on, you know, on the Wii. I didn't see it for any other consoles, but if you're able to do like the bike combat, and they had other kind of games. One was I don't even know how to describe it. Shoot, in the original movie, it was you got two platforms that you're standing on with that are made of rings, and you bounce a ball back and forth. And if the ball hits one of the rings on your platform, it disappears. And so it's like different forms of combat like that. I'm just wondering if they're able to take the games, the video games that are played, you know, in this world, and actually make them multiplayer video games. I haven't heard anything about anything like that.
That would be interesting, though.
Yeah, so I just think that would be kind of cool to these combat simulators and situations that I always saw, and, you know, to actually be able to participate in that, I think would be a lot of fun. So that's why I'm looking most forward to that.
The one thing I don't see, and I don't know if it's out because I haven't been focused on games because of finals, but was the Donkey Kong game?
Yeah, Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Well, that was for the Wii, yes?
Yes.
I think that looks awesome, but again, it's on the Wii.
Well, me and Dave played it, and it's been rated. All the ratings I've seen has been like 4.5 out of 5 stars, or 9 or 9.5 out of 10. I mean, it really did well. Me and Dave, we've bitched about it on the show multiple times. We played it at PAX, and you just basically get a level. And the level the guy gave us, we had no familiarity with the controls, was the boss fight. And we go in, and the boss just kept whooping the shit out of us, and the guy's sitting here, like, making fun of us while this crowd around us is laughing at us. And we're just like, fuck you, I hate you, and we're leaving, I don't care anymore. It was one of those deals where it's like, if it wasn't in public, I'd just throw the controller on the ground. It's like, fuck you.
And, yeah, exactly.
But it was like, we were just getting our asses handed to us. And so my first initial thing was, that was not a fun game. But this is a game I will probably go back and pick up.
Your daughter might enjoy it.
You know what? I don't give a crap what she wants. I'm the gamer in the house. She can like what I like.
Barbie.
I mean, we live in Dallas. All of her friends' parents are Cowboys fan. She will be a Bears fan. Plain and simple.
Or Houston fan. I can guide
her. I can control her. Oh, you... No. God, no. Are you... No, you're... God, blonde. Shut up.
Hello.
There's no way in hell...
Texans are my team, so don't even go there.
The Texans suck.
Well...
Your mom sucks.
She does.
I know. Anyway.
She's kind of a slut that way.
Such a slut. I didn't want to bring it up for everyone to know, but yeah. Anyway, so you need someone else to go with you to Houston, or to go with you to Utah?
No. Dave's going.
Oh. All right. Well, good enough.
You're going to Alaska, so.
I am going to Alaska. It's going to be fun.
But she would be all over you, my mother. Oh,
well, you know what? Few people can resist a chunky farva. I am adorable in my own chunky, chubby kind of way. So, all right. Well, that's it for On the Horizon. I'm gonna try and corral this back into video
Dave
games.
Dave was standing here, so I think he wants to come in and.
Fine.
Talk to you.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
Thanks for letting me help.
thanks for actually being the responsible half of that relationship.
Yeah, that's who I am all the time.
There we go.
Hold on a sec.
Hey guys, it's Fish, and I'm back, and we're going to go into the digital desk. Okay, digital desk time. Farva, did you enjoy doing the first part of the show with the lady of the house?
I did. Yeah, she was eloquent and educated and thinks I'm amazing, which is fantastic for me.
And prompt,
so, yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's funny because I am going to do a game bang because my game bang is the entire reason that I was late getting in here. But we're going to start with Digital Desk. And the first story up on the Digital Desk is something called the Angry Birds Advent Calendar. Farva, you have an iPhone.
I do.
I have an iPhone as well, and I think we both have Angry Birds, which is, of course, if you have an iPhone, you have Angry Birds because it's a buck, and it's like the biggest selling game of all time. They came out with a Halloween special, Angry Birds.
Mm-hmm.
Did you pick that one up?
No, I didn't.
I didn't pick that one up either at first because I was like, oh, are they just like coming out with new levels and like sort of cashing in on their success? This Halloween one has become a bigger value than the first. It, first of all, there was an update after Halloween to turn it into Angry Birds Seasons. And it turned into Angry Birds Seasons, which meant now you can choose between the Halloween levels they developed and the Christmas holiday levels they developed. And one of the first thing you do is you go in there and you choose between one of those two things. And has all different like items and levels and stuff that you can blow up. Now the Angry Birds Christmas portion of it is has an advent calendar world, which unlocks one level every day until Christmas. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool little stint they're pulling here, and it's working for them. Wow, excuse you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Did you know that it's actually free on the Android?
I did not.
I mean, whatever. It's $1 on the iPhone. It's ad support on the Android, so I guess it's worth $1 to not have ads and stuff on there. But the iPad version is $2 too. So you know, if you got one of those, that's definitely worth it. I've found that it's probably the best game that's ever come out for the iPhone. I think.
It's a lot. I know everyone I know who's been playing it. Just is addicted to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've killed probably, I would say, probably 10 hours playing that game.
I know, in little five-minute spurts, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, constantly.
Yeah. I mean, when it's time to shit, it's time for Angry Birds. There's no doubt about it.
Indeed.
The next story I want to talk about is, actually, Ubisoft is soliciting what fans would like to see in Assassin's Creed 3. They have a survey that they've sent out. And essentially, it comes with 15 different things, and you pick which one you would like the most. So let me run through them real quick here. Number one is an upgrade to the Assassin's Blade that increases the fluidity and speed of free running.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know about that. That seems like two totally separate things. Two seems pretty interesting. An enhanced eagle vision, see the patrol paths of guards, spot clues to complex navigation puzzles, detect when characters are lying during interrogations. That seems pretty neat.
Okay.
Three is a crafting item that you can use to create custom bombs. Four is using the variety of bombs suited to unique contexts: smoke, poison, flash, explosive bombs. Five is an additional objective where you and your Assassin's Guild fight against the Templar to gain control of a city district by district. And the Assassin's Guild, Farva, is one of the coolest things about Brotherhood, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in my game bang. There's six is kind of something that a lot of people have been asking for, playing as a new assassin in a different historical time period. So that's just changing the whole thing up all the way. Seven is a continuation of Ezio's story, so if you wanted that. There's a bunch of other stuff on here, like online cooperative mode, offline cooperative mode, new maps for multiplayer, deeper team-based multiplayer experience, because as great as the Assassin's Creed multiplayer experience is, mm-hmm. I don't know if you played any of the team modes when you had it rented. They seem kind of tacked on. Assassin's Creed multiplayer seems like a free-for-all. It's built for free-for-all.
Yeah.
It's tough to work a team element into Assassin's Creed multiplayer. But all that stuff seems like what they're really considering for Assassin's Creed 3, and they're kind of letting the fans have a voice. I like Ezio. I like that story, and I like the region. I think there's a lot of different places they could go with it outside of Italy. I like that time period, though, but it may be time for a change. What do you think, Farb? After Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, do you think they're gonna switch it up?
Well, I haven't beaten it yet, but I think honestly, two games in the same time period, two full stories in the same time period, in the same city, you know, the same cities, the same area.
Uh-huh.
Is enough.
Especially for a series predicated on the fact that you're reliving a lot of different histories.
Correct. The assassins in your family tree.
Right.
So I think it's time for a new assassin. Although, to be honest, I can't think of a good time frame that's looking past that, I'm like, shoot, I don't know what would be a good, you know, time frame.
Well, we were spitballing and the 1930s in Chicago seemed like a pretty cool time, like a gangster type of Assassin's Creed. It doesn't need to be blades and you know, crossbows and stuff all the time. They've been slowly progressing and adding in more firearms into the game. I think once you start going down that path, though, it's one of those things where you could never go back. So, be kind of interesting.
Like the idea.
No,
I don't like that. And this is why, because then it turns into your prototypical stealth game. Like, part of what makes it so cool is the ancient weapons, mm-hmm. and the, you know, when he's given, like, a piece of machinery, like one of Leonardo da Vinci's machines, and he's able to fly in and this and that, or use a parachute type deal. Yeah. It's more of a, it's like, wow, that didn't exist back then. So he's got the upper hand all against these armies. It's what makes him such a great assassin.
Yeah.
You know, with the 1930s, you're looking at, there are so many stealth games of that caliber out there. Some are good, like the, Splinter Cell games.
Uh huh.
You know, that obviously they're set much more in the future than that. But then you have games that they had games like The Velvet Assassin and other games like that that were set in that time frame, or maybe, you know, a couple decades after. I think Velvet Assassin was set in World War One.
So yeah, I think you're right.
Another 15 years later. But still, I just think you're getting into a messy situation that so many games have already done that it's kind of sloppy.
What about, you know, Revolutionary War, British and America?
That would be interesting. I think that would be much better. That's when the machine gun was first coming into play. Cannons still had played a major role. A lot of horseback still, you know, steamboats. I think that would be a much better time period.
I think in the fiction of Assassin's Creed, it's pretty clear that even in modern times, you haven't finished the first one yet, or the second one yet, but it becomes clear even in modern times, the assassins don't really use guns, but they do use the ancient weapons. Even in modern times, they still use the ancient weapons. There's segments near the end of the game where you're playing as Desmond in modern times, and you kind of get that impression. So I think even if you were playing in the Revolutionary War, you wouldn't be using firearms as a primary means. Even Ezio in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood uses firearms that Leonardo makes for him. But it's sparingly. It's really sparingly. And I think that's how they would treat it no matter what time period it was in. Even if any of your opponents were using them, I think it'd still be kind of an interesting thing. I think maybe revolution. I think they need to get out of Europe. And they can't really go to Asia because you're the family's lineage of your character doesn't go through Asia. I think you get out of Europe and you come to America during one of the early American time periods. For the next time period,
that would be cool.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I think the Civil War, or even like the French Indian War,
yeah,
you know, would be a cool time frame.
Yeah,
then you'd have the native population, you'd have the French, so you'd have that European ish feel to it.
Uh-huh.
Then you'd have the American settlers and the, you know, I think that would be a much better time frame. So good call on that.
Yeah, thanks. The next story we want to talk about is that Civilization IV. Its opening theme, named Baba Yetu, has been nominated for a Grammy. And it's not some bullshit Grammy like Best Game Sound Music thing. It's been nominated for Best Instrumental Arrangement accompanying Vocalists. Just straight up a Grammy Award that Civ 4's theme gained. But
now this is Civ 4, not Civ. Wasn't Civ 5 just released?
Yeah, it was. And that's what confused me about the whole thing, is that it's been around for like 3 years.
Yeah.
So how is it up for a Grammy this year? It is. Apparently it's going to be held on February 13th, and who knows what it's up against. I don't know, whatever. But it is Baba Yetu. Maybe it was just released commercially this year or something.
That just sounds weird. That's like saying, you know what, then why don't they nominate Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, for, you know, Artist of the Year.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, heck, just because it's been, yeah, sure, it's been passed. It's only, you know, 30 years old, but Lord knows, it was a great song.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was just released commercially for purchase this year as opposed to just being a video game theme. Maybe there's a statute of limitations kind of thing when they signed the deal to make it the theme song for Civ 4, where until Civ 5 came out, they couldn't release it commercially, and now it's released commercially.
I don't know. It just sounds like, yeah, when I read it, I'm like, he's got a typo in here. I'm going to make fun of him.
I know, it's Civ 4. It is Civ 4. And yeah, it's the first video game theme song to be nominated for a Grammy ever. So, you know, maybe something for gamers to look at on Grammy night that isn't, you know, Lady Gaga's vagina flapping around.
All right. Jeez, whatever.
Jeez.
Like anyone gives a shit about the Grammys anyway.
So, the next story I want to talk about is that StarCraft II's cheats for single player have been revealed, and it's not that's not really much of a story in itself. But the cheats for StarCraft II single player actually are pretty clever and pretty inventive. Their console commands, you type them in and you get certain effects that happen, such as took the red pill. It disables the fog of war, and do you know in an RTS? In an RTS, the fog of war is the you have a large map usually in the corner of the screen, and that is covered by fog until you send guys out to explore those parts of the world. Mm-hmm. So it took the red pill. Just references back to the Matrix, and it lets you see everything that's going on. There's things like I am Iron Man, and that. Instantly allows all the upgrades. Hand shot first disables cooldown on spells. there's one called Never Give Up, Never Surrender. So it's a little bit of a.
You ever watched? No, I was thinking No Retreat, No Surrender.
No. That's
you ever seen that?
No.
It's just a story about this kid who's like his dad owns like some sort of like karate parlor group, some like trainer thing, and the Russians want him out, and they bring in the Russian, so he like fights them all off, and then like they bring in the Russian who comes in and like breaks his leg, and the Russian is the first time that Jean-Claude Van Damme was on screen.
Oh wow.
The Russian is Van Damme.
That's Russian. Oh, so then, he's Russian. All right, that's cool.
Yeah, so yeah, so then the guy then they're gonna lose their studio, and the kid's like, he runs to Bruce Lee's grave, and he's like, oh, why won't you help me? And then Bruce Lee's spirit comes and teaches him kung fu. It's really like it's a, like a bad 80s
wow,
typical bad 80s movie. But yeah, but it's called No Retreat, No Surrender. If we that would be a great BMDD. It's so cheesy.
Never Give Up, Never Surrender is from Space Quest, I think it was. It was a Tim Allen movie that was a spoof on a bunch of sci-fi movies like Star Trek.
Really?
I don't know.
Remember that line from that.
That was what he said every time. That was his catchphrase.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, that was his catchphrase.
All I remember is like, was it Alan? Is it Alan Rickman?
Yeah, it was Alan Rickman.
Yeah, he's like, by Grabthar's hammer, by all the sons of Warven, you shall be avenged. I love that.
There's other ones in here like I'm a doctor, not a roach, Jim. There's one called Why So Serious. There's one called Over-Engineered Codpiece. And it's just they kind of got fun.
What does Why So Serious do?
Why So Serious just adds 5 million credits. I don't know why that does that, but it doesn't seem... I don't know. It seems like they're going with something better for that.
Yeah.
It just seems like they needed something to add money, the standard add money cheat. And I don't know why they made it Why So Serious. But I think it's interesting and inventive that they come up with... I always kind of like to see this kind of stuff where it's they've come up with something inventive, like the coders have just had been at work for like 50 hours that week and all jacked up on Mountain Dew, and they're about to put 40 more in. And
Mountain Dew and Coke. They're like, okay, quick, we got to add money. What do you think? Some dude's in the corner. Why? So,
he's broken. He's cracked, and eventually he murders everybody. But they just left it in there anyways.
It's always fun to like find little Easter egg stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite thing to do with like the Pixar movies, whenever I get them on Blu-ray or DVD, is to go looking for the Easter eggs.
Oh yeah.
You know, like Monsters Inc. has like on the DVD had a ton of them. Me and my daughter spent forever like looking for all of them. So, I don't know. That's always just a fun little thing in a game or a movie. So,
yeah.
Kudos.
The next story I want to talk about is the PSP2. Well, the power of the PS2 has been revealed in a way. A lot of rumors have been flying around, and they've all been saying pretty much the same thing. It's potentially as powerful as a high-end console. It's said to rival the power of the Xbox 360. What's supposed to be coming is 1 gigabyte of RAM, which if you compare that against the the PSP Go and the PSP 3000, the current models, those have 64 megabytes.
Jesus.
So that's, you know, multiplying it to an order of 10 and then some more. It's supposed to be the Nintendo 3DS is supposed to be as powerful as the Wii, which also has 64 megabytes of RAM, and 729 megahertz clock speed. But the, apparently, the PSP2 is supposed to have be as powerful as the Xbox 360. It's going to have to be, I think, Farva, for it to be successful. Against...
My only question is how do you power that? Like, actually power it? The lithium battery would have to drain so fast to run hardware that powerful.
They've come out with different things, you know, to extend battery life, like solid state drives. It doesn't use a hard drive like the Xbox 360 does. It doesn't use a disk drive like the Xbox 360 does. A lot of the power goes to those spinning disks. That doesn't happen on the PSP. They have flash drives where they just read a memory stick and power the screen and power the processors. It's takes a lot less power to run the computer technology inside than it does to run the motorized spinning reading laser disc mechanics that are inside of a current gen console. It does look like it'll have twin thumbsticks. It looks like it'll have a microphone, and it does appear, Farber, that it's going to have a touch screen on the back, as well as triggers on the top. Now, I remember seeing this for the first time and thinking, what would you use a touch screen on the back of the thing for?
Yeah, I think we made fun of that.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to just wait and see on it. People made fun of triggers and analog sticks too. You know?
Yeah.
Some and rumble packs, you know, back in the Nintendo 64 days, people made fun of all that stuff and said, "We'll never use that shit." And now they're all staples of a modern controller. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, you don't use your pinky or your ring finger in a controller.
Yeah.
You know, in a controller setup, why not use them or usually your middle finger either? So why not use them on a touchscreen in the back in some way, in some navigational way?
Interesting.
Maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll work. If it works, they'll have a major hit on their hands, and they will have succeeded in making the PSP relevant again. But they have a large hill to climb.
I'm curious for the price point on that, because everyone's saying the 3DS that will be coming out is looking at price point is $300.
Yeah,
a lot of people are like, that's way too much money. Not doing it. I know a lot of people are. You know, that's where they stand on it. Then you have this, which is going to be if the power rivals a true console, and a lot of consoles, especially on initial release, are $500-$600.
Yeah,
what's the price point going to be on this, and will that kill it?
I gotta imagine it'll be $100 higher than the 3DS, whatever that comes out at. I think if you get the price point on the 3DS, you'll have a pretty good idea of what it's going to be on the PSP Go or the PSP 2. I think $300 for the 3DS means $400 for the PSP 2. $250 for the 3DS means $350 for the PSP 2. Mm-hmm. That's been their staple. That's been what they've done. I don't see anything, and they'll probably throw the whole kit and caboodle at it too, man. You'll probably get everything with that $300 that $400 or $350. But that's going to be a tough pill to swallow for a portable gaming console, especially for people who have other alternatives like newer phones that can play games on those too.
Yeah.
Why?
Or, I mean,
why?
You have the Go, right?
No, I don't. I don't have any PSP.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I have the new, you know, the 3000 or whatever. You know, I got the one that came with the Metal Gear game, that whole bundle. So, you know, I bought that. I don't see a reason. I just can't see it justifying. I mean, they put out so many PSPs, and they keep constantly putting out new ones, and that, you know, they got the Go, and they've got this one, and they keep putting out these little bundles. Then to turn around and say, well, this is $400 for this. I mean, I know a lot of people will buy them, but I think that the price point will be so high that's going to be like, no way. If I can't hook this up to my HD TV, no way am I spending that much money on it.
And if you could hook up to your HD TV, then why aren't you just playing your PS3?
Exactly.
At that point.
Exactly.
You know, I think having an ultra-powered portable console seems kind of fun and kind of cool, but when you get to the reality of it, I think the definition of a portable game has changed over the past few years, and it is the thing that you pick up and play for like 5 minutes, and that's not what the PSP has really ever been about. I think having an ultra powered handheld console is just going to have them go further down the path that a small market will be into. But
yeah.
Not enough to cover what they're paying to develop this thing.
Yeah, I mean, my portable gaming right now is my phone, my PSP. Mm-hmm. That's more than enough. I can't. Yeah, I don't know. Don't get me wrong. It wouldn't be. I'm not saying I wouldn't love to have one.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, I just can't. Well, I got. I guess I got to wait and see. I'm making a judgment call, and I'm a little drunk, and I'm just like, yeah, fuck that.
Oh, let's just see. Let's just see if Sony wants to send us one or two for review.
Yeah, why not? You know,
that'll be fine.
I guarantee you, they'll send them. It's like 10. I'm rating it. It gets 11 ships. It's amazing.
Okay, Farva can be bought. That's great journalism, Farva. The last story is that the cataclysm has come for World of Warcraft. It is here, and it is launched. I'm not into World of Warcraft, Farva. I know you're not into it either.
No, I am not.
But the cataclysm. Things like this in MMOs always intrigue me, always make me kind of interested, because I just like it because it changes. It's got this big story, and it changes the entire world. It's the third expansion for World of Warcraft, which has 12 million subscribers. And what happens is, I guess, this big dragon comes, Deathwing the Destroyer, comes and basically obliterates everything that they knew about their world, Azeroth, and now it's every landscape has changed. There's new outposts and towns cropping up, and it seems like one of the more inventive ways to really introduce some major change into World of Warcraft. I don't know. I don't really care. I'm not going to play it. But I do like seeing this kind of stuff where an established franchise really takes a big risk and shakes things up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I don't care.
Yeah. Well, that's it then. I mean, World of Warcraft, if you're into it, obviously you knew about Cataclysm. If you're not, it might be kind of interesting to see what Blizzard's doing with Cataclysm. And you might be hinting at what their next big MMO venture is. Maybe World of Warcraft 2. You know, maybe World of Warcraft 2.
I mean, yeah. I've wanted to try it. I really have.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have the time to game with all the consoles and stuff I have now. There's no way in hell. You know, I can barely keep up with what comes out now on the consoles and the PC.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, that's just, no, I just can't do it.
It's tough for a console video gamer to swallow the initial, or the recurring monthly charge for playing World of Warcraft, because I feel like I have a recurring monthly charge for buying video games already.
Well, I know that like Nerves has his band and stuff coming up, and that's why he's kind of dropping out on the show a little bit.
Yeah,
but I did find it oddly intriguing that Jitterbug says suddenly he can't do it right when this is getting released. I mean, I'm not saying anything out loud, you know, I'm not making any bold-faced accusations.
Yeah.
I'm just saying this is one of those conspiracy theories that might be worth looking into just a little bit.
He's setting up a new business venture, and I believe it, but I bet he is.
One of these, of course he is, because his fruit-selling stand in Azeroth just got burned by Dennis the Destroyer, or whatever the hell they call that stupid thing.
Dennis the Menace, the fucking dinosaur.
Dennis the Dragon just came in and set all of his kumquats on fire, and he has to set up a new business. Of course he does. I get that. I'm just saying. Coincidence? Maybe not.
And I would say maybe not such a great idea, Jitterbug, to just start up a new business venture right when the biggest update for this game that you love is coming out. But
yeah,
you know,
seriously, dude, way to be a jerk. Way to be a jerk and put the health and needs of your family above your video game playing and your, I mean, really.
And your podcasting.
Seriously. No. Every gamer needs to neglect their family just a little bit.
Oh, I think it's clear, though, Farva. I think clearly we have the flagship firmly under control. I think if the last episode is any indication, I think we've totally got that shit locked down.
Yeah, because it went so smoothly.
Oh, my God. Like a glove. So I'm going to do my little game bang here. You guys already did an official game bang, but I want to talk about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood because the single player has really drawn me in, Farva. I'm about 5 hours into it, and I've started recruiting my Assassin's Guild. Have you heard anything about that mechanic?
Yeah, I know that, like in 1 and 2, as you started like taking people down, and you know, you could start basically freeing up parts of the city, and mobs and things like that would start showing up that would help you.
Mm-hmm.
Like the general populace would start moving in your favor. It'd be like a, you know, and two especially expounded that using the, you know, using your surroundings as a weapon.
Yeah.
Well, this, as I understand it, and you can correct me, sure, but the populace itself starts revolting as you start, you know, leading this charge. The populace itself will start revolting against these people, and like one or two individuals will start really standing out and really going after these people.
Uh-huh.
And these are ones you can recruit and start getting them under your wing. Uh-huh. And actually leveling them up and teaching them and making them full-blown like assassins under you.
Exactly. And it goes so much further than that. What happens is there are specific, just like in the main map of Assassin's Creed, you have all the different things that show up on the mini map, like the Eagle's Nest places and your next mission and like the shops and stuff that show up that you, mm-hmm, can all go to. There's also an icon for a citizen that is revolting against the guards. And you go over there and you help them out, and then they become part of your Assassin's Guild. And what happens is, first of all, off the bat, everybody that you have in your Assassin's Guild that is active, you have as an option to call in at any time. You hit the right bumper button when you're, mm-hmm, pointing at a guard, and they'll come out of nowhere and take that guard down. It's like they come, they like appear out of a bale of hay and just massacre them. And nice. So you could literally go through an entire mission and never attack, never even break your walk, and just keep calling in your assassins to take out the guards that are in your way till you get your assassination target, and you'll never get any kind of, it's basically like a smart bomb button, you know, like the old, yeah, hit the button on the Atari and the smart bomb goes off, or like Geometry Wars or something, just kills whatever you need to kill in an immediate area. Really neat. You see your assassin just kind of come out of nowhere, take these guys out, and then just disappear. It's cool to be able to command something like that. It makes you feel a lot more powerful as a player than when you had to go and do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, Farva, when I've been playing it, I haven't been able to do that at all, because when you send you said you could level up the assassins, and that's true. The way you do that is you send them out on missions across the world. You send them out on assassination contracts, and it's not gameplay. You go to specific points in Rome, and they have assassination contracts where you can send your people out, and you choose who to send out. They're all named, so all your assassins are named, and they all have experience point levels, and you can send one or two or three or four people at a time out on any one mission, and there's dozens of missions that are always active. You can send them to Greece, you can send them to London, you can send them to Paris, you can send them to Moscow. And as it's only text-driven. You choose a mission, you choose a person, you send them out there, and go out there and be somebody, and they go take care of this thing for you. You get some money, they get some experience, you get to level them up. As text,
I got a question real quick. Let's say I send two assassins to go kill one guy.
Yeah.
The experience points they would have got, do they split that? Or do they, let's say you get 1,000 experience points.
Yeah.
Do they split that and get 500 apiece, or do each of them get 1,000?
They split it.
Okay.
So I mean, obviously you would send every one of your assassins out on the same one that if that wasn't the case. But they split the points. But there are some missions where you need more than one fully trained assassin to go on.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some missions that you can only accomplish with a bunch of people. So this little text based sending people out, getting people back, putting them back out on other missions is so damn addictive. I never have an assassin available to me in my actual gameplay. I'm leveling up everybody, and I've got a guild of I think about 7 people now. And they're all just sort of out doing missions. But it's just a really cool mechanic that I wasn't... I mean, I was expecting it, because that's Brotherhood. That's the Brotherhood mechanic. And mm-hmm. that's what I've been hearing a lot of different places before I got to it myself. But I didn't really expect it to be such an integral part and such a kind of a cool part of the game. Really happy with it. And really happy with the story overall.
Well, I mean, that sounds good. It sounds like fun.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm, I talked last week about going and renting Assassin's Creed 2 so I could beat it, and then getting, you know, because I do have a fair amount of time. Well, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to the store before they closed, so I didn't get it. So I played Red Dead Redemption and pretty much all but beat that. And so tonight, I actually went and rented 2.
Nice.
I'm
going to
go
ahead
and plow. I'm going to start plowing through that.
Yeah.
So hopefully by this weekend I can take Brotherhood with me.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, you've got to beat 2. I would say you don't have to beat 2 if you've never played it at all. But if you're getting close, to the end of Assassin's Creed 2, you should definitely beat it before you start Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. But yeah, that's what I'm game-banging as. I feel like that's probably what I'll be game-banging for a while because I'm enjoying all the little side things, too, in Brotherhood. So I'm not really particularly charging through the story in any way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's going to do it for Digital Desk, and we're going to go on into the Fresh Catch. Okay, Fresh Catch time, and guess what, Farva? I have something about Steam on the Fresh Catch.
Well, before we get into that too much, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the Christmas present.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
For those people who don't, last week he said, hey, send me your email, and I got something for you. I now have World of Goo, and I'm blanking. What's the other one?
It was World of Goo and Freedom Force.
Freedom Force on my PC.
Yeah.
Completely free of charge. Got them. They were a gift from the fisherman.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. That was awesome.
You're welcome. And everything has been spoken for. So all the copies that I had have been spoken for. It was really great. It was actually during the Black Friday sale. They had certain they said 12 packs on sale for ridiculous prices. Like the 12 pack of Freedom Force was $15 for 12 games. And so it was like, I picked that up, and then I picked up another one that was, I think, $20. The World of Goo one was 12-pack for $20. And so, it's cool to see my friends on Steam that I have in the community that I've gifted these games to, playing them and seeing if they like them and stuff. Should be.
Yeah, World of Goo is so addictive.
It's a fun game. And Freedom Force is a It's kind of shitty, but it's one of those games that's like shitty in a way that that is funny, and it's kind of like a bad movie drinky of games. It's so over the top, and you'll like Freedom Force too. It's like the precursor to those X-Men Legends games. Something nice from the fisherman. Happy holidays to my shipheads out there. But Steam has been. Do you think that 5-day Black Friday sale that they rolled out would have been enough? But they've got another thing happening right now from December 6th to the 20th. Every day they're going to have new deals and new quests. Check this out. They have something called the Steam Treasure Hunt. And what it is four things or four or five things you should do. You need to do in a matter of a couple of days. You complete objectives that they lay out for you. Like, okay, for this one from Monday to Tuesday of this week, it was self-portrait, set up an avatar for your community thing. Okay, that's easy enough. Got tanked, become a desert fox in Ruse, which is a strategy game. Up the ante, which is unlock the Iron Curtain, and Poker Night at the Inventory, which is a poker game they have there. More cowbell, set a leaderboard score of at least 1.1 million in easy mode for the Paul Hartnall level in Chime. But what's interesting about each one of these things, I mean, outside of the Avatar one, which is just a Steam thing, each one of those achievements in those specific games comes with a pretty massive discount on the game.
Okay.
So, become a desert fox in Ruse. And then right below that it says, Ruse is 33% off today. So, it's $33 instead of $50. Up the ante, which is unlock the Iron Curtain and Poker Night at the Inventory. Right below that it says, Poker Night at the Inventory, 75% off today, which is like $1.50 instead of $5.
Yeah.
And so, the same thing with the Chime. It's $1.25 instead of $5. And so if you keep your eyes on this thing, and regardless of whether you accomplish the things they tell you to accomplish with these achievements, you can keep your eyes on it and get some pretty good deals on games you might be interested in. I mean, I picked up the Pokemon at the inventory. I didn't pick up Chime because only because I have it on the Xbox. But there's going to be new objectives for the later this week, for this weekend, for next week, all the way until the 20th. And if you do enough of their tasks, if you accomplish enough of their achievements, three people that do that will win 100 games. So of their choosing, they get to choose them out of Steam. I mean, I can't even think of 100 games. I can't even think of maybe 12 games, but you could accrue them and then get them and then just get whatever you ever wanted out of Steam for the next like 5 years. Well, so
good luck to those people. Hopefully one of our listeners will get in on that. But yeah, sounds like a shoot. I don't know where to look because I've been going into Steam and looking at their deals and this and that. I didn't even think. I saw this little treasure hunt thing. I didn't even think to, you know, really look at it.
Yeah, guys, if you're on Steam, go up there as soon as you get in and just click on Steam Treasure Hunt. And click on it every couple of days, and there will be new deals. Whether you want to actually do what they're telling you the achievements are or not, you can just go there and see if there's a game that you wanted or kind of wanted that there's a deal on. You know, I can't tell you what they're going to be, but I'm sure they'll be great because that's what Steam does is they give ridiculous discounts on games. And they always do that at Christmas, too, so don't think December 20th is going to be the end of it. It'll be the end of it for a week, but they always have an end-of-year just complete blowout sale, too. Mm-hmm. The other part of the Fresh Catch for people who aren't computer PC gamers, the Gamefly is offering used deals on games again, and there's only really three games that are up for it right now, but they're good games, and they're games that you might want to try or maybe stocking stuffers kind of things. Dante's Inferno for the 360 is $10. The Divine Edition for the PS3 is $13. That was one that kind of got buried by God of War 3.
Yeah,
but was
still a solid game.
Yeah, apparently a solid game in its own right. I never tried it. Prince of Persia: The Forgotten Sands, also a very solid game. $10 for the 360, PS3, and Wii. And
Splits. So people know that is not a movie tie-in.
Right.
That was its own game, and it was actually a really good game, but a lot of people thought, oh, movie tie-in, piece of shit, and didn't get it.
Yeah.
You're missing out on that. If you're a platforming fan at all, like even in the slightest bit, you're really missing out.
Did you play that one?
I did.
Yeah, did you play it all the way through, or did you spend a lot of time with it?
I spent probably 2 days with it.
Yeah, I mean, for $10, I mean, that you can't really go too far wrong with that for, you know, a good weekend thing. I mean, I'm sure you could probably get 10 more bucks out of it when you trade it back in, too, so.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained there. And then the last one is Split Second for $14, which was kind of a fun racer. I heard it had short appeal, but hey, you're getting it for $14. You're not paying full 60 for it. So that's pretty good too. So if you're not into PC games, if you're not into Mac games, if you're not on Steam, which I think part of my little gift last week, Farva, was sort of to prove that it didn't really matter, you know, what kind of a PC rig you think you have or how shitty of a PC you have. You could play the games that I sent out, no problem.
Yeah, yeah.
With whatever computer you're running, and Steam is just chock full of those games. Games just like that one, or those two that I sent out. So, yeah, guys, enjoy those games. Hopefully you have a good time with them. Those are both really fun games to play. And keep an eye on Steam's Treasure Hunt. See if there's a deal out there that you want. And so that's going to do it for Fresh Catch. We're going to go on into Gamer Night announcements.
Hey, all are invited to join in a talking ship Gamer Night.
Okay, Gamer Night announcement time. I didn't have anything last week, Farva. I didn't really have an official or an unofficial Gamer Night. But I wanted to let the people know that there will be a Bad Movie Drinky Drinky this Saturday night. It'll be on. Hopefully, if you can make it and you can secure an internet connection, is the deal still on at that place in that motel you were stuck in from a couple weeks ago?
Kind of. What they're doing is they're having problems with the modem, sending out the signal. You know, I wasn't quite getting, like, it worked great for months, and then it started acting up. So the guy went out and bought this industrial strength, like, router, and it blasted the whole place. So everyone gets good connection. Well, the problem was I tried to connect to it last time, and what I got was I connected through the router, no problem, but then the router had no internet.
Oh.
So I ended up he had opened up during in the meantime this unsecured system, and that's what I was on last time I tried to get into a party with you guys for last Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was online. I was able to do some gaming. I gamed with Cam Dog and who else I gamed with? A couple other guys.
Yeah, Shava, right? Because
Shava. And we all kind of, we got in and we just got into a, it wasn't like a private party, just, you know, in Modern Warfare, but the Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And we just, we gamed that way, and that was all well and fun. But I wasn't able to get into like Netflix with you guys or anything like that, so I missed out. So hopefully they're going to get all these problems fixed and worked out. And because actually it was that internet connection that we recorded the flagship on.
Yeah.
So it was that open connection. So it works okay with Skype, but you know, I still couldn't have I still couldn't get into a party, you know, on my Xbox.
Yeah, I guess I'm not technical enough to understand why playing Black Ops is less intensive on an internet connection than watching a movie is, but I guess that's not for me to really understand anyways. But yeah, so we're going to be doing a Bad Movie Drinky Drinky on Saturday, and we'll be doing it at the standard time, the 9 o'clock talking chip time. And yeah, so come on out and join us. I'll put a post up in the forums, and we'll have a good time with that one. And just wanted to let you guys know that we're going to have a special announcement on the flagship on Sunday. Something somewhere the Talking Ship has never gone to. Something, a brand new thing for the Talking Ship.
So we're saving that, because I was just going to bring it up.
No, we're going to save that. We're going to save that for the flagship show.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's a pretty important one, I think.
Really is.
And I'm really excited to share that with the people. But you have
to
wait.
I just want to get the love out a little early, I guess.
Yeah, that's all right. That's your MO, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That never happens, I swear.
So what delayed me from starting the show is now waiting for me, Farva. And so now I'm going to get back and play some Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And lose myself in that for another little bit before I hit the sack, man. What are you going to do?
Well, I've got 2 hours before I got to head to the airport, so I'm going to try and finish Red Dead Redemption.
Nice.
And maybe start Assassin's Creed 2.
There you go, man. All right, so that clearly that means we're going to get back down and play some video games.
Bye,
Farva. bye, Buggy Woman. Remember, BUGGIEWOMN. So
no.
Inundate her.
No,
that's what she said. She said, "There's no." That's what she said.
There's no O.
W O. Okay, I'm lost.
Okay.
All right, everyone, get on Farva TS, and she's on my friends list. Find her, and then inundate her with friend requests.
Yeah, bring it, because she's got Farva and me.
There we go. So, hey, everyone, thanks for showing up. Get the fuck out.
He said, "Fine, you can come join the podcast now." He said, "Fuck you" earlier.
Yeah, he says that a lot.
Yeah.
He'd be lost without me, though.
He wants to go to Utah so my mom can get all over him.
Gross. He does not want that. He might think he wants that.
Hey, don't rule anything out. You don't know.
What'll happen here?
So, how do I get into the other segments?
No, I don't know. You can just be like, hey, this is Fish, and I'm done being a dick, and I'm back, and this is what I'm drinking, and we're going to the digital desk. That's what I would say
late.
If I were you.
Five That's minutes late.
That's what I would say if I were you.
Five minutes late. Are you a little whiner?
I'm sorry you were being a dick.
Oh, boo-hoo. You had to wait 5 minutes. It's the worst thing in the fucking world for baby Farva. Baby Farva can't take 5 minutes of waiting.
Hey, that's for my gaming time, sucker.
All right, so you want to go into digital desk then?
Sure.
All right.
Well, why don't you talk about like you being back and apologize to the show, and then you can go ahead and say what you're drinking.
No, that's okay. I don't need to say what I'm drinking. I'm drinking. That's it.
Well, I think you still think you should apologize to the show.
I'm not going to apologize to the show.
You owe the show an apology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so bad to hear my girlfriend talk for 20 minutes.
I made you out to be a dick. You should totally apologize for it.
I'm not going to bring it up at all.
Fine. See what happens.
I'll just mute you every time you said that.
Let the wrath of the internet fall upon thee.
Baby Farva. Poor baby Farva. Do you need to go get your bottle before I start the digital desk up?
No, my bottle's... I'm topping off right now. I'm good.
All right, good. More milk?
Nah.
It was diet something, though, right?
Yeah, it was.
That's pretty nice.
It has to be. You saw me.
That's sweet, yeah. Oh, I did see you. How could I have missed you?
I know. I know. On that 3D screen, it's like, quick!
Oh, my God! Just throw it out the window.
Oh, it's like, I swear to God, he tried to bite me.